Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're talking this week about learning how to bear the yoke of the Lord. These amazing words from Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." It's a promise. To hear his words, Jesus is speaking to you today. Where are you this morning? Are you carrying heavy burdens about life, career, finances, marriage, family, children, our country, the crazy politics, the crazy angst that's present in the country, the deconstruction of so many things that seem stable and secure that are shaking now? Are you carrying all these burdens? Are they heavy on your heart? Do they cause you to fear? Are they filling you full of anxiety? Do they get you to the point of discouragement, depression? How are you dealing with it? Are you seeking escape, like binging on Netflix and maybe drinking too much, or finding escape in pornography, or simply the strategy of distraction in some way, or working out like crazy? You know, everybody's trying to deal with these things that are present in the world right now in an intense way. And I think it's actually going to intensify in different ways. But what gets manifested in it, in these, as I was mentioning on Monday, I think it was Monday, that these are storms, like storms that whip up, like, an analogy to the apostles in the boat with Jesus when he was sound asleep, and the storms, and the storm on the sea whipped up, and the apostles were really frightened about it. Must have been serious, because some of these guys were fishermen, and they spent so much time on the water. There's a lot there, but I just find the contrast between their fear, gripped by fear, because they're battling the fear of death on the one hand, and Jesus sound asleep and resting in the middle of the storm. That's an analogy. There's a message there for us. Jesus said, where is your faith? Where is your trust? Faith is not just a belief and a set of truths. It's not just an intellectual belief. It includes that, you know, believing everything that's written in the creed, for example. But it's at its core, at the heart, it's a profound surrender and abandonment of our lives in trust to God. I know I'm in his hands. I know he's with me always. In fact, I know he's not just at my side. He dwells in me. He's made me something new and different. I'm a temple of the living God. And what that means is, through the gift of the Holy Spirit given to me at baptism, the Father and the Son are present, as St. John said in his first letter, that he said, what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've declared to you, that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. So they grasped, they saw, they touched, they had the privilege of not only seeing Jesus' power manifested in his preaching and his love, but Christ risen from the dead, and they saw the reality that there is life after death, that there is eternal life, and that there is such a thing as divine life and divine power that's completely indestructible. And they said, we've seen it, we've touched it, we've experienced it. And we want to share it with you now so that you can have fellowship with us. Because our fellowship, John said, is with the Father and with the Son. Here's the security, here's the secret that the apostles lived from. Why their lives were so radically changed from men who, in the moment of threat, especially on Holy Thursday night, they denied Jesus despite Peter's proclamation, as I said a few times over the last few months, Peter's bold, disagreement with Jesus. Jesus said, all of you are going to deny me tonight. And Peter said, leaned in, and he said, yeah, Lord, maybe those guys. I mean, I can see why you think those guys might do it, but not me. I'm rock solid. Remember, you called me rock. I am rock solid, and I'm with you, and I will never do it. And Jesus looked at him with great compassion. He said, you're going to do it tonight, Peter. No way. It's not going to happen. I would rather die. I would die before I did that. There's Peter's heart. There's Peter's intention. But Peter's a slave to sin and the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil, apart from the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He can't do it because he's battling against enemies that are more powerful than he is. The power of sin and death, it's real. The devil is real. Jesus knew it and understood it, but after Pentecost, after Jesus poured out the promise, the Father and the Son poured out the promised Holy Spirit that made him a new creation, that gave them new power, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. And so they were. They were faithful witnesses, just like Jesus is called the faithful witness in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. So the apostles, Our Lady, everybody, those who were gathered together by Jesus in the upper room in the power of the Holy Spirit became faithful witnesses to the point of death, to the truth and the reality of God. And John is saying, look, we're inviting you to come experience what we've experienced. Come and live in what we're living in. We are literally having fellowship in the body of Christ, in his church, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's the point of life. That's the whole point of life. To live in it, to live from it, and to draw as many people into it as you can. That literally is, that's what will be rewarded in heaven. Friends, Super Bowls, you know, national championships, huge success on Wall Street, casinos in Vegas, Disneyland, whatever it is. All these things that everybody's chasing after in heaven, these things are going to be nothing in the life of the kingdom to come. Nothing. But what will be rewarded and clothed in heaven with majesty and recognition will be radical love for God. Those who heard John's invitation, for example, to say, come have fellowship with us. Come with us and love the Father with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let's learn to love our neighbors ourselves. Let's learn how to walk and live from the Holy Spirit. Because our Master told us, Jesus told us, despite all the trials in this world, that to walk that way, to live that way, is the definition of greatness. And if we walk that way, we will be a light in the world. And so a real light at this moment in time, brothers and sisters, is to live from a place of rest. Are you at rest? Or are you filled with anxiety, fear, anger, confusion, discouragement, unbelief, unforgiveness? These are the temptations that particularly emerge when a great shaking goes on. The great shaking is a tremendous blessing because it reveals for us the true condition of the heart. Am I living from my relationship with God in such a way that I'm living from rest, a place of rest? Am I at peace? Am I reconciled with God and neighbor? Am I walking in humility and meekness? What's meekness? Meekness is strength under control. Jesus said, learn from me. I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. Meekness and humility. Neither one of those is honored in the world for the most part. Humility, the humility of God, the humility of Jesus, the humility that recognizes the truth about who we are, that we're creatures, that all that I have that's worth anything has been given to me, that I'm not better than anybody else. I'm not above anybody. I'm not better than anybody. I can see and I can recognize that I owe God everything. And to know God is the greatest gift on the earth, and I gladly bow down. Like the children of Fatima, you know, how the angel of Fatima of Portugal taught them how to pray before God, these little children, you know, and they became saints. I mean, this is a teaching for us, you guys. Look, children became saints and mighty in the kingdom of God. And he began with getting on their knees, putting their foreheads on the ground, and an angel schooled them, taught them, discipled them. And they prayed, Father, we believe in you. We adore you. We hope in you. And we love you. And we beg pardon for all those who don't believe in you, who don't adore you, who do not hope in you, and do not love you. Isn't that beautiful? And we beg pardon for them. They're praying for sinners, the church talks about it, right? People who haven't come to know God and surrender their hearts in humility to God. And they don't even know, those people don't even know that what they're doing by ignoring God, going their own way, denying his existence, pursuing pleasure, putting off, you know, God's call in their soul, not listening to their conscience, all those things. This is profoundly wicked. It is wicked. There's nothing innocent about it. It's bad news. And it's bad news for them. And it's rooted in pride. That's what it is. No matter what people say it is, it's rooted in pride. The human heart refuses to acknowledge the fact that we're creatures. What is more obvious than that? So it reveals the pride of the human heart, right? What is meekness? Meekness, as I said, is strength under control. Look at the response that's happened in the country to the unjust killing of George Floyd. The effects are still with us. And the people, how did people respond? In meekness, strength under control, with humility of heart, to peacefully march together against this kind of gross injustice? No, all kinds of people. The human heart got revealed to the max. All kinds of people filled with rage went to the streets, filled with anger went to the streets, and they committed violence. They destroyed things. They try to disrupt society. There's a kind of madness that's present. That's a human heart that's under the angst and the power of the world and the flesh and the devil. It really is. That's what's being manifested there. And it produces its own fruit. It produces sin, violence, death itself. It produces all these things. So I was thinking of the letter to James today, chapter 1, verse 19 and following. Know this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Scripture says, be angry, but don't sin. So Jesus said, I'm meek and humble of heart. A meek man and a meek woman is not a lightweight. A meek man is someone whose strength is under control. What does that mean? Ordered toward love of God and love of neighbor. So what gets expressed in the kind of thing we saw in Minneapolis is in the whole, you know, the burning down, the burning of homes and neighborhoods and the violence and all the rest of it, you see the real condition of the human heart, the pride of man, and you don't see the righteousness of God. You don't see meekness under control, that is human beings that, yes, fight for justice, but do it directed by love, by the golden rule. Do unto others the way you want things done to you. Do you want someone to come to your neighborhood and wreck your mother's house and burn it to the ground? To wreck your house and burn it to the ground? To destroy your cousin's grocery store? People came from all around the country because they wanted to get violent and push forward a political category, right? To disrupt the country. Ironically, a lot of the most violent stuff was led by white folks, you know, rich white kids, you know, who are trying to disrupt society. Be angry, but don't sin. The Christian has to live differently, and we can live differently because we're not living from that anger, that rage. We're living from the peace that passes all understanding. That's a gift to us that comes from the Holy Spirit. If we live in it every day and walk in it and mature in it, that's what we're called to. Jesus wants to give it to us. It's here, friends. Let's receive it and walk in it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.